is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hannah Stanley here today filling in for Frank Fontana. I want to thank Frank for every time he takes the day off, obviously, but every time I get to sit in for him, this is absolutely one of my very favorite shows I get to sit in on. And it's because I truly love all the things I get to talk about. We have so many great things to bring you guys today. David Miranda, producer extraordinaire, is here with me and has been with me for the past few hours, making sure that everything is all buttoned up and organized and tidy.
You know, you're perfect to cover because you brought some interviews of the Houseware show.
Yes.
And you do this in your personal time, so you should become like an official reporter for the Frank Fontana show.
That is officially done. I'm not
you're hired.
I'm done. I will do that. I'm at Frank and your disposal because I do. I love discovering new products. I love going to the Houseware show and really kind of nerding out about all of these things. The International Home and Houseware Show happens every year here in the city of Chicago. It's a 4-day show, closed to the public, but I'm able to go in there because I am the official Housewares reporter for the Frank Fontana show. I'm getting business cards. Write that down, please, so I can get business cards that say that. But it is my personal time, and I go every single year. I love it. It is like, I take pictures when I'm walking in. I'm so excited.
You're going to feature some of them today, the teeth one, those people that complain about stained teeth. We have the perfect solution for everybody
and
here today.
And you got to try one of the snap packs also, so we're going to talk about that as well. Also, I wanted to thank Steve Cochran and John DeCasse, who put together a comedy show in Arlington Heights last night at the
You're
Metropolis.
Covering everybody at WGN this weekend. You're covering Frank. You're covering...
Helping to support. That's what I'm doing.
Cochran.
Helping to support. Steve Cochran is dealing with some health issues and was unable to attend his show. And if you know Steve, that is the last thing he would have ever wanted. They actually rewrote the show so that he was able to attend and he still wasn't able to. And so because of that, I got called in to help fill some of that time. And it was just such a great show and such a great audience out there. Tim Banker was there. John DeCasse, of course, who you know from Steve Cochran's morning show.
Yes.
Andrea Darlis also did comedy.
I would have loved to see you and Andrea there.
It is silly. We sit backstage and giggle the whole time. And I'm not kidding. This is so stereotypically girly. We were trading makeup backstage because I was like, oh shoot, I forgot my black eyeliner, and she's like, I got you, girl, and hands me an eyeliner. And then that happened. And then Pat Tomasulo was the headliner in place of Steve. And if you have not seen Pat do comedy, he is so good.
And there's a lot of things he can't do on TV.
There's a lot he can't do on TV. And he is really, really one of the better headliners you're going to see around the city of Chicago. We're lucky to have him. So, and just a great guy. We were all standing backstage just giggling and laughing, and it was a really, really good show. So many great things coming up. Two items from the Houseware show: Go Smile, which you and I have both tried and we get to talk about, and I have an interview with Dean Leipzner, who is the CEO, and then also Yonana.
Yonanas.
So excited. This is a product, and I will talk about more of this as well. I've had this product for 2 years and had never used it. They sent me a Yonanas machine.
I was watching the video, and I think it can change your life. This machine can change your life.
Yes, and that's going to be in between 2 and 2:30 is going to be the Housewares focus, one during Frank's faves, which he does every week, which is our new favorite product, Go Smile. And then we are going to talk also about Yonana, which could also be a Frank's fave. I got to bring some in 1 week to talk about that. But coming up right now, we have Allison Case, who's the owner of Integra Rehab, and we are going to talk about all kinds of spring projects. You know what my favorite thing about spring is? Favorite
flowers?
Moment of every spring day? No, it's when my allergy medicine kicks in.
Is it working for you?
It finally is. I was on the Eisenhower. I was driving down here, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I can think.
Like a regular person?
My ears have cleared. I'm actually intelligent again. That's nice. That's exciting. Yeah, it really, there's a lag time of about an hour from taking the allergy medicine to actually having it work.
Doesn't make you drowsy, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, I have to take a different one at night because you don't want to wake up drowsy, right? Mm-hmm. So I take one that actually allows me to sleep, because if I go to bed without allergy meds, then I wake up and I'm in a fog and I have to wait that lag time until the meds kick in.
You know, with my family, we actually have to do that. We switch allergy pills if we're taking them for a couple of days because they work differently. I think your body learns to get adjusted to it.
Yes.
Or it gets immune to the allergy pill. So if you switch it around, you're going to fight it faster.
Yes. And if I take a decongestant at night, I don't sleep well. I don't. So I just have to take a regular antihistamine at night and then a decongestant during the day.
Yeah.
Now that we're done with Hannah's medical history,
we're going to also have ideas about decorating, about
rehabbing, what to ask your contractor for spring projects, and we have a restaurant coming in.
Yes.
You know how to book a show, Mr. David Miranda. I'm excited. Every
Not
time
that I'm
I
hungry or anything,
like,
no.
No.
I went to the moped store. The salesman's like, what up?
What's Is this new?
And I'm like, honestly, I don't know nothing about mopeds.
Yes, it's the Downtown Follow Me song.
By Macklemore.
Macklemore, yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say the bad word here, so you don't have to worry.
I love it, though. I like Macklemore. Let's give it another second. Again, I will mention WGNRadio.com/watch. You can watch us because there is dancing happening here in the studio. Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana, and thank you to him again for having me do that. It is a pleasure to get to talk to you all each and every time I am able to. Joining me today in studio is Allison Case, owner of Integra Rehab and Narik. Yes. Okay. And then Mimi.
Well, I'm not the owner of Nari, but I sit on the board.
Okay, good. And Mimi Altman, and you are with Narik.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And am I saying that correctly?
It's Nari GC, actually.
Nari GC.
Yes.
Okay. Hold on one moment while I make a note so that I don't say that incorrectly. Nari GC.
We could go with Narik, though. I kind of like that.
I like Narik.
It.
Yeah.
And it is done. Okay,
so
Hannah Stanley, renaming products and companies as we go on the fly. Here is the thing, and we have been so fortunate the past several weeks, because I know the weather was a little bit shady the past week or so, but it has been mild and relatively lovely for mm-hmm. the past little bit, but it makes people antsy to go out and start working on projects they've been thinking about, start gardening, start doing all kinds of things. Me, I want to repaint my front door. That's been my whole winter thing. I'm like, when is it warm enough and dry enough that I can repaint my front door?
Right.
However, a lot of these people need help.
Yes. True.
With these projects. And we'll clarify. But how do people go about making sure they're finding the right contractor and finding enough good contractors so that they can really get the project done for a great price, a good price, a fair price, and have it done on time and on budget?
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of people do a lot of research on things like which laundry detergent to use. But when it comes to contractors, sometimes it's overwhelming or whatever, and they just don't do as much research. And you're spending thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. So I think research is really kind of the first place to start. Where our organization is full of remodeling contractors and suppliers, product suppliers. So that's obviously where we're biased. That's a great place to start is with our organization. But you need to devote some time as a homeowner. You're making an investment. So you want to make sure that you get the best for the best value for your investment.
Yeah. And let's face it. I mean, no one likes a contractor. So I would just say, no matter what you're doing, talk to at least a couple. You know, it's good to get a contractor. If you have a larger project, you know, like what we do, major renovations, we like to be on board early and with architects. But for something like what you're talking about, where you want to repaint a front door,
right?
Talk to a couple people to make sure that you're hearing the same thing. And also think about what you're going to ask the contractors before you come in. Questions like, is there anything else I should be thinking about with this project? Like, mm-hmm. if we start redoing my front door, one contractor might come back and say, oh, yeah, well, you're also going to have to replace the casing. And if you replace the casing, you're going to have to paint it. And if you paint that, it might make your baseboard look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Those are questions that a good contractor should be giving you feedback on.
Also, because contractors are the professionals. And so if you say, this is the biggest thing I see on every television show right now, like a rehab show. I want to blow out this wall. Everybody wants to blow out their wall. And there are huge expenses that can come with that if it's load bearing. There's questions that you definitely need to understand to ask. And is it better to ask the contractor these questions or multiple contractors? Or is it better to have that research done on your own and bring in an engineer on your own and figure out if you can blow out that wall?
Yeah, most contractors would be able to answer that question just looking either at plans that exist or, I mean, I think you can usually just look at it until there isn't support somewhere else. So mm-hmm. this is probably a load-bearing wall. And there are things you can do to get around that, and Allie can talk a little better yeah. about that technically.
Well, I would just say anytime you're blowing out anything yes. in a house, and people use those words, you need a plan. Some contractors draft them up themselves. Sometimes you need an architect. And, you know, don't be afraid of words like architect or engineer. You know, it doesn't cost that much if you're doing something simple. You know, sometimes an architect will just hand draw a sketch, you know, and give it to you. But when you're doing things like that, it is good to have something that everyone's looking at to make sure we're talking about the same thing. And also the whole process of having a plan, having to put it on paper, requires some discovery. So you're not walking in, hammering into something and then saying, oh, maybe we should have thought about the header, you know?
Oh, yeah. Look, how are we going to make those HVAC runs go away?
Right.
Yeah.
There's
like that's a big expense.
Yeah. Did you want your bathroom? I hope not.
Yeah. Maybe the sunken tub really isn't a good spot
right
there over your really expensive television. These are things
exactly.
you need to focus on. And the other thing that's very amusing to me, and I want to ask you guys how this actually works. When we see these shows on television that make us dream big dreams about how we can renovate our home, they are gorgeous when the homeowners come in for the reveal, but there's a designer involved. So it's not just blowing out that wall that makes your kitchen gorgeous. It's having either a very good designer touch yourself or talking to a designer such as Frank Fontana to really bring in that polish that's going to make your home beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, I think that one of the number one things I'm always telling clients when I walk in the door is, before we do anything, I just want you to know I'm the most annoying person in the world to you in about 3 weeks. And that's because people can't, it is nearly impossible to fathom the amount of questions that have to be answered. And you can pick your door handles, you can pick your countertop and your cabinets, but rarely people are thinking about your hinges, your door handles,
The grout color.
Yeah.
Do you want white or off-white?
Right.
That's a big choice.
Yeah. You have a door. Okay. Do you want chrome hinges? You want brushed nickel? You want them rounded? You want them square? What if you want a lever handle? You want a round handle? You want it to lock? You want it not to lock? You know, and people are like, stop, you know, and I'm like, well, I can't because I have to install it. I need to know what you want. And that's where a designer really, where the rubber meets the road. You know, when you have an awkward corner in your cabinet, you know, the designer has the answer. A homeowner is going to be very overwhelmed by that story, you know, about that question with a bunch of contractors standing in the kitchen staring and waiting for an answer.
Yeah, you know? It is also something that I'm always interested in people. And I'll throw my husband under the bus here. We will have contractors come over and bid out jobs, and he doesn't want to ask awkward questions like, mm-hmm. I'll go, honey, this is their job. You mm-hmm. you can ask, how much is this really? And what's the markup? And like, can we get this more affordably? There are ways that you can help stay within budget. And he's like, well, no, this is what they quoted me. And I'm like, no, this is, you can ask this. What are questions that people really should ask?
Well, I think the first thing, if we could just go back to this budget issue,
yeah.
because it seems to be very intimidating for the homeowner because they feel, well, the contractor's just going to give me a project that's right up to my budget number and that sort of thing. And what people don't understand is that if I'll take a bathroom, for instance, you can do a bathroom with just minimal changes, say for $15,000, or you can have a $250,000 bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the contractor asks you your budget to know where you are on that spectrum and what you have secured. And then they'll design something that's within that budget. And like you said, if it's over, there are things that can be changed, a different countertop material that may be less expensive, but still as beautiful. So working with your contractor and trying not to be defensive about things like the budget, you know, the first step is to pick somebody that you trust and you feel comfortable with. And after that, it's more of a team conversation, I think, between the homeowner and the contractor.
Yeah. And for contractors, I mean, I'm talking about money all day long. That's yes. all I do. And you have to be comfortable in a construction situation talking about money so that everybody's on the same page. I wholeheartedly agree with Mimi. You know, we come in and we say, what's your budget? And they say, well, what's your number? And it's like, well, okay.
I can make it whatever
you know,
it needs
right?
to be. Right?
You know, or we need to know if it's not realistic. You know, if you're putting an addition on your house and you think it's $100,000 and it's $250,000, you know, it's pleasant to say that in the first conversation rather than wait 3 weeks to get a full bid to put together, you know, only to realize everybody's wasted their time.
Hannah Stanley here on the Frank Fontana Show, filling in today for Frank Fontana. David. Does Frank dance like I do?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He normally jams.
I want to emulate as much as I can about him hosting.
People are watching you on WGNRadio.com/watch. You can watch Hannah Stanley dancing. Since it's the daytime, she won't do a topless, but right now she... Only in her zany shows.
Wow. Yeah, no, that doesn't happen either. And thank you, Laura, who texted in that she was at the show last night. I appreciate the kind words. Here is the thing. We want to hear from you guys about your questions for contractors, because I have two with me, Allison Case and Mimi Altman. They are with Integra Rehab and Nari, although potentially now Nariq. I'm not sure. That's also the new fragrance they're releasing in the spring.
Yeah.
Nariq.
You weren't supposed to say that yet. Yeah. It's still in development.
I'm so sorry. But it's musky. It's good.
It's Nariq. Sexy.
Eau de oak.
Yeah. Eau de yeah. oak. Oh, my God. People like cedar. It has cedar undertones.
Yes.
That would be fantastic. I would wear that. So would my dad. We need to do da-da-da-da, whatever they've been dreaming about all winter or for the past 4 years, and they want to have a great barbecue on the 4th of July or something, perhaps a new deck. However, whatever that project is that you are dreaming of, how soon do they need to get on this to hit it and be done before winter comes again? I hate saying that, but
last
it's only
fall.
A matter of time.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Yesterday? No.
Yeah.
And what people don't understand, too, is that probably 90% of remodeling can be done year-round.
Oh.
The outside concrete and painting outside so you wouldn't paint your door over the winter.
Right.
But you can
That's
redo your kitchen.
That's merely for my own comfort.
But you can redo your kitchen. You can redo your bathroom. It's all inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little more probably inconvenient because you're not outside as much away from the work. But... a lot of things can be done all year round. So you can start in the fall. The contractors are pretty busy now. So if you are thinking of starting a project and want it done sometime in the summer for that wedding or party that you're having, call tomorrow morning and get started on it now to get it done.
Yeah. What's the lead time typically?
Usually there's about 2 to 3 months of lead time by the time you get to the spring.
Really?
You know, a really good time to be talking about a spring or summer project would be in December, January.
All right. But don't be discouraged, listeners.
No.
If
no.
this is something you really want, then just start making those phone calls. Because
right.
things happen. Projects drop off. You guys can slap people in potentially. When we are talking to contractors, how many bids should we be getting? What is due diligence as a homeowner?
That's 2 to 3.
Yeah, 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Anything more than that, you know, contractors take hours to put these bids together. There is not a template because every project's different. So it can take them, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours?
Yeah. I mean, well, we focus on major renovations. My average bid takes 3.5 weeks.
Right.
So, and that includes about 25 subs. So,
wow.
Yeah, you don't want to, but I would say if you're renovating a kitchen or a bathroom, smaller project, yeah, I mean, you're looking at least 10 hours mm-hmm. to put a bid together. And also more than three, and you're going to start confusing yourselves because all the bids are not going to match identically. You're also going to have to take into account that as a homeowner, you have to figure out a way to compare apples to apples. Mm. What does this bid include that this one doesn't? If this one's a little low, or is this actually a real price, or what questions do I need to ask?
Okay, so if we're looking at a $30,000 bid for a kitchen, but it's quartz countertops, and then compared to a $20,000 bid that might be a lesser product, that's still something that's comparable. It's
correct.
Just the extra cost would be in higher end finishes.
Right. As Allison was saying, look for what each bid includes, and the more specific a proposal is, the better for you as a homeowner to compare those things, because you'll have the one bid that's $10,000-$15,000 less than the others, and you think, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. Well, does it really include everything that you want? Does it include the quality of materials you want? Because if it's not in that proposal, which usually turns into a contract, it's not included. So make sure that you're looking at it line by line, almost comparing each proposal.
All right. That said, what are we looking for to make sure it includes? I know every project is different, but what are some of the red flags that we should make sure that are included? Not red flags bad, but things that we want to make sure you guys are covering.
Primarily, you want to make sure that finishes are included. Especially if you have a very controlled project where you know you're having a quartz countertop, you know you have a certain kind of cabinetry, you want to make sure that the allowances match up. One contractor may say, here's a $25,000 allowance for cabinets. Another contractor may be saying, here's a $5,000 allowance for cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
Same project, different price.
And is that based on the subs or the quality of the cabinets that they're putting in? Where do those prices, how do they vary?
It's usually quality, mm-hmm. right? Or they're just not sure. This is, again, where the knowing the budget ahead of time allows the contractor to give you a more accurate proposal.
Okay.
And when you have those $5,000 allowances for cabinets and then the homeowner says, no, I don't want that, I want this one, and it costs $25,000, at the end of the job, they're mad at the contractor because the final bill was more than what was originally quoted. Well, it was because you wanted a higher quality of cabinet. So make sure when you're looking at everything that it has the quality that you want and the fixtures that you want. If you know specific ones, have them list them. And if you know kind of your general quality, what you want, then have them list the allowance that goes along with that quality.
Yeah, and let's face it, there are contractors out there who submit a low bid to get the job,
right.
And that bid is a jumping off point.
Right.
For negotiations in the future.
That's never fun. That's
right.
Never
this
fun.
This is Chicago, after all.
Yes. 312-981-7200. We have a text coming in. Do I need a contractor if all I want is granite countertops and a new sink?
Maybe.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
That's actually a really great question. I get a lot of phone calls for people who are calling that say, I need the walls painted and I want a new sink, mm-hmm. you know, or I want a countertop and a new sink. You do not need a general contractor to do that. You need a handyman.
Okay.
And if you are searching around, there are contractors, and one is not better than the other. It really comes down to pricing. A general contractor is going to be a little higher priced if they're subbing out the work.
Right.
A handyman is someone who may sub out a few things, especially if they're trades, but most likely these are people who are carpenters. They're coming in, they're doing the work themselves. They have a lot more flexibility. They're going to be better on pricing. You don't need a GC, you need a handyman for that work.
Okay. I will. This is something I have actually dealt with because I redid a laundry room and it's tiny and I was able to put my tile up. I kind of loved it.
Mm-hmm.
People walking in and go, I did that. I did that whole 12 square feet of tile. That was me. What we did though, is we found a remnant a piece of granite. I am not going to be cutting a hole in granite.
No.
I don't recommend anybody do that. You need a granite guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or girl. You need a granite person. That is very specific and easy to mess up work.
Yeah, I mean, typically the most expensive contractor you can hire is the one who doesn't do it for a living. So,
yes.
Oh, that is sage advice. There might be that's the drop that we're going to use. That's going to be the headline on this podcast. Because if you do mess it up, you're doubling the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you run it, where the rubber meets the road is when you cut that countertop and then something's not quite working out. What do we do? What does that mean? What am I looking at?
Right. And then you got to get the granite person over to fix it in the first place. It would have been cheaper just to have him do it.
Yeah, the granite person may come over and say, well, now you need a drywaller. And now you got another contractor that you're managing. You know, you got someone in there. He's like, oh, we're going to have to drywall that up. And the next day there's someone there to handle it.
Having professional help, trust me, people, is absolutely worth it. We've got a few minutes left with our ladies who are very, very knowledgeable and can help us with all of our information. We were talking about how lead time needs to start weeks ago. However, it's never too late.
Right.
It might be too late to get it done by the end of June, but it's never too late to start. How do we background check? Because there's going to be a contractor that's going to walk in and go, I can start Thursday and I can get it done in 2 weeks, just like they do on television. And it's only going to cost 10 grand. All the other contractors are saying it's a $25,000 project. It's going to take 2 months. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be messy. How do we know when it's too good?
Well, first I'll start off by saying NARI of Greater Chicagoland is an association of contractors. We have a code of ethics. We do check people before they become members. So they are ethical, reliable contractors. In the rare event that there is a problem with a project, we do offer you can file a complaint with us and we'll try to get it fixed. So start with someone, first of all, who has been in your area, has done work for friends, family of yours that you know that have done a good job for them. And then check with organizations like ours. There are also the Home Builders, the Kitchen and Bath Association, where these contractors join. And there's a little more accountability that they have when they're a member of an association. So that's a good place to start. On our website, we do have a list of questions to ask contractors. And you can use online reviews, but remember that there's no accountability for those online reviewers. So some may be the great ones, may be their mom.
Right.
And the bad ones may be an employee who, you know,
or
was kicked out or a competitor.
Who's not ethical.
So you kind of look at it in a general broad scale. Is there a running theme through them? Things like that. So that's a great place to start to find a contractor who will be reliable. And I tell people that it's less about price and more about, do you feel comfortable with them and what their experience is? The price can work itself out into your budget if it's something that's doable. But when I hear people talk about their bad contractor experiences, they're not NARI members usually.
Okay.
But they say, you know, I just had a bad feeling. I shouldn't have done it.
People go with your gut.
Go with your gut. If you, and it may not even be a reliability thing. It may be a personality issue that you don't maybe get along with the contractor.
Absolutely.
For one reason.
No, but you have to have good communication.
Right.
Yeah. And beware the yes men.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a contractor who's walking in that knows everything about everything you're asking about a certain kind of tile and they just seem to have an answer for everything, it's nearly impossible. I mean, I almost can never walk into a property and know everything there is to know about your project before I've delved into it.
Let's go to the phone call. We have Mike.
How you doing? I got a cold, so bear with me.
Oh, dude, I understand. It's the allergy season.
Yeah, one thing you mentioned about contractors giving allowances for cabinets. First of all, if I were giving a bid, I would never give an allowance for cabinets. And if I were a customer, I'd never accept an allowance. I'd want to know exactly what we're giving you or exactly what you're giving me. That is such a huge, millwork is such a huge part of it that, you know, you go with $5,000 and $25,000, you can go from a garage cabinet to, you know, solid maple or beechwood or whatever. So if you're doing a kitchen, they have to have the layout, everything. And each contractor has to know what they're giving you. And the customer needs to know what they want, because that's right there. You're going to create ill will between both parties because you're not giving them what they want and they never saw anything to offer. So I don't know how you can give bids with just an allowance for cabinet. I guess you could give a lineal foot, but I wouldn't do it. I mean, they have to see what they're getting.
All right, Mike, yeah. Important points. Thank you for your phone call. Do you shop with your clients? How do they pick cabinets if you need to figure out what that pricing is going to be?
Yeah, so for the work we're doing, there's always a designer or an architect on board. So we're generally working off of shop drawings and things like that. Shop drawings are where you have different cuts and elevations. You mm-hmm. can see where the cabinets are going, how big they are, how many uppers, how many lowers you have. Typically, when people are starting in the bidding process, though, they don't have those answers. They're looking for the contractor to provide those answers. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Mike. Like, he's absolutely right. You can create a lot of ill will early in the process if everybody is not on the same page, which is, again, where those plans come in.
Well, and the homeowner might say, I want new cabinets, blah, blah, blah. But in their brain, they want a complete redesign of that kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's very different than just repainting cabinets.
Yeah. And he makes a great point, too, along the lines of, if you have a contractor that's walking in and is okay with winging it, that's a huge red flag. You should have a contractor coming in and asking a lot of questions about detail, a lot of questions.
And that's why there could be such a lead time mm-hmm. on these projects and before you even get a bid.
Yeah. And also another question is, who's responsible for the finishes? Who's buying the tile? Who's buying the fixtures? Mm-hmm. Is the contractor coordinating that, or are you the homeowner coordinating that? Because if the homeowner doesn't have it together, they don't have that, and we're ready to install tile and the tile's not there.
Because there's an order.
Right.
You got to have mm-hmm. that stuff on site,
right.
ready to roll. And that said, one of those tips that I've been hearing lately is to have the floorboards, the wood, whatever you're putting in, acclimate in the home mm-hmm. for a while before you install it. So that's another thing you need to get on site.
Mm-hmm. And those are the things that, especially if you're doing a multifaceted renovation, something like a kitchen, those are the things the contractor should be talking about. You know, you want to ask open-ended questions to your contractor. How's the schedule going to work? How do you see this project laying out?
I have lived through a kitchen renovation when I was much younger at my parents' house. Jeff Hoover is going through a very large renovation right now that Frank Fontana is actually managing and designing for him. And you can follow Jeff on Twitter or on Facebook. And he's being very open about it. But they have, like, their microwave in the basement. They've been without mm-hmm. kitchen stuff for a very long time. I'm assuming he and Tracy eat out a lot, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. But they drink their dinners occasionally. They're very open about their wine habit. But knowing kind of on the long end how long you're going to be without a stove. You can plug the fridge in somewhere else, but these are very big conveniences. You don't realize it's really challenging to live without for a while.
And I think making sure you talk to your contractor, they usually say this, but if they don't, ask them, how long is my electricity going to be turned off? How long is my water going to be turned off? Because all of those things are going to happen at some point of a major project, like a kitchen or a bathroom. So you want to know, okay, maybe that's the night or that's the weekend we go out of town, you know, to stay in a hotel with a shower and mm-hmm. electricity. Mm-hmm. So it's really a conversation that you should have at some point. And actually on our website under resources, we have literature called Lessening the Stress of a Remodeling Project, and it has those sorts of questions to ask and how you should prepare for your project as well.
Also, this is something that I would ask because I'm super anal retentive, but how they're going to protect that space.
Yep.
I was just going to get into that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that, because that's not necessarily included in that bid.
Yeah. So wayfinding. How people are getting around the house, especially if people are living in the house, mm-hmm. how we're blocking from dust, how we're blocking from theft, how are we managing who's in and out of the house every day, who's letting people in the house every day. Mm. In Chicago, big deal, dumpster. Do we have a dumpster on the street?
Huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Because people take that opportunity to put everything in your dumpster. You know, so how long is that dumpster out there? You need a permit for it. That's a parking issue.
I'm always super happy when there's somebody with a dumpster on the block.
Yeah.
Said no one ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and draping that space so mm-hmm. that you're able to eliminate some of that dust and really still maintain living in the home as comfortably as possible.
Right.
You guys have been fantastic. I want to go through this again. Mimi Altman, and you are with NERI Greater Chicagoland.
Yes.
And people can get information at
NERI, NARI Chicago.org, or my office, 847-298-6212.
Excellent. And then Allison Case, owner of Integro Rehab. And you can get information with you guys
at my website at www.integro-rehab.com.
The International Home and Houseware Show is one of my favorite weekends all year. It's not open to the public, and that's okay because I go and I bring some of the highlights to you. And one of the products that I was really excited to learn about, I had seen it. I knew the name Go Smile. But it was something that I was a little bit more on alert about because I think we're all sensitive to our teeth, right? I don't, David, you do television.
Yes.
And are you aware more of the whiteness of your teeth?
Yes, especially when I took my braces off, mm-hmm. I had a little stain. And then after that, after the braces, I check out everyone's teeth. I don't know why. It's just automatic.
It is one of those things that shouldn't matter, but it really, really does, the whiteness of teeth. I'm very aware of this. And I stumbled upon this booth at the International Home and Houseware Show a few weekends ago, and I got to meet Dean Leipzner, who is the CEO of Go Smile. And the first day I was there, they gave me some samples of these things called Snap Packs. And we're going to hear all about them with my interview. But David, you were able to try the Snap Packs a little while ago.
Yes, it's very minty. And you know what? You feel clean. And I had just finished drinking coffee, and you feel clean and minty and a fresh breath.
It is really remarkable. So here's my interview with Dean. He's going to tell us how this works.
Okay, well, I'm going to begin, Hannah, by telling your viewers, and I'm not, or your listeners, should I say, not just saying it, your teeth are really nice. And we're in the teeth whitening business, so you can't see her on the radio, folks, but I can tell you her teeth are great. So she's starting a little bit up the chain. But what Go Smile's all about, we've been around for 15 years, and we sell our products in places like Ulta and Nordstrom. But what the product really is about is we're a teeth whitening company. It was started by a prestige dentist, and basically our products, as you mentioned, Hannah, are across the board. We've got fast teeth whiteners. We've got teeth whiteners that can really just kind of maintain. What you used, and you're absolutely right, was called an ampule, but we call it a snap pack. Simple three-step process, which you did and all your listeners can do. You flip it, you snap it, and you apply it. And you can either use it to boost your teeth whitening or use a touch-up, as we call, same technology, after every meal, and that will keep your teeth looking great.
What I was very impressed with was how my teeth have felt. They didn't feel, I've used strips before, of course. They didn't feel like I had gunk on my teeth. My breath was fresher, and my teeth felt clean.
We get that all the time, and that was part of the formulas that we basically worked on, is to say, how can you get that sort of fresh from the dentist feeling? And we've really worked on that. We are really proud that when a lot of our customers come back from the dentist, we get emails and notes all the time that say, what did you do? My dentist said your teeth are cleaner than ever, or really the hygienist, and we're thrilled with that. And the point is that it really is based on the formula. I'm not going to obviously say anything against my competitors, but the preservatives and the things that they use in their teeth whitening does give you that kind of gunky feeling. Ours just don't have it.
And because you're able to do this so what I was, again, impressed with is the fact that it could be done, after a meal at a restaurant, you run into the bathroom and rub this on your teeth. And earlier I was learning this can be used to clean up coffee stains, because I'm a fan of coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm a coffee aficionado. And then even red wine, which are the two main culprits.
Yes, we found that if you use one of our touch-ups, and you proved it the other day, have a cup of coffee, have your glass of red wine, have pasta, anything that stains your teeth. And by the way, it all does, unless it's a clear liquid. Just rub it on afterward, and you'll see the touch-up turn to the color. It removes the stain. You don't have to run away and find a toothbrush in a sink. You're absolutely right. Use it in the bathroom. Use it in the subway. Use it as you drive in your car. And it's a very easy way. And, yes, we put a touch of mint freshener in there so your breath's good as well. It saves you on gum. It saves you on mints. And it saves you on using a toothbrush.
And it's going to save you long term on having to whiten with different products, because you're going to catch it as it happens. The remarkable, what I would call magical portion of this system is your toothpaste or your toothbrush, which has the blue light in it. Tell me what's so magical about that.
Sure. Well, This was our evolution. We started with that ampule, our snap pack, and what happened was we were getting lots and lots of requests from people who were saying, hey, how can I do this and maintain it? Well, the ampule is really a boost, but if you want to keep going with it, we thought, okay, how can we make this work? We put it into a whitening gel, and that became wildly popular to use with a toothbrush. But then we also spent a lot of time and a lot of money researching how we can basically enhance and boost that whitening gel, and we were able to come up with a patented design blue light, which is in the head of our toothbrushes. So, by the way, we got a sonic toothbrush design, and now it has blue light wave technology in it, and it does two things. First of all, it absolutely kills bacteria and prevents cavities and diseases, so even if you never touch our whitener, the toothbrush is far superior to my competition by doing that. But then it boosts and quickens the whitening process. So without having to do anything else, brush your teeth 2 minutes a day, and you're on your way to white teeth. And it really does work. 2 to 7 shades whiter. If your teeth are capable of getting there, we'll have it for you within a month by using our products.
I will post some pictures on Instagram at that Hannah Stanley. So you can see not only the products that I'm talking about today, but also the teeth of the people who are here, not me. But everybody working here, they're walking around putting the little snap packs on their teeth as they're talking, probably because they finished their coffee. And their teeth are gorgeous. This is an incredibly impressive product.
Well, thanks, Hannah. And you can join us because your teeth have gotten there, too. And your viewers will – or I apologize again. Your listeners will see that. They'll be viewers when they look at your teeth. But, yeah, everybody has great teeth when they finish with Go Smile. And we're just really pleased that we can do something, saving you a trip to the dentist. It's easy. It's – by the way, virtually sensitive-free, too. Sensitivity, it works on caps, veneers. It's just really a product for everybody.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because that was the perfect segue because I was going to ask you about sensitivity. That is everyone's biggest complaint. How young can we have people using this product? I know girls in high school are going to want to be, you know, have those CoverGirl smiles. But is there an age where we want to make sure it's adult teeth, et cetera?
Okay, and now you made the great segue back to me because I had a few points to make about that. Number one, we don't recommend any products with peroxide for children under 12. The point is teeth are still developing. Gum sensitivity is still there, or gum development, should I say. But above age 12, children coming out of braces, now in this day and age, a lot of adults coming out of braces with Invisalign and all other things, your teeth will get darker while you're using that. So it's a great boost to get started. But above the age of 12, and back to the thing about sensitivity, here's the trick. Almost every teeth whitener, actually, it's not the peroxide. People get very confused thinking that the peroxide is what makes my teeth sensitive. Well, every whitener, ours included, has peroxide in it. That's what whitens the teeth. But it is the preservatives that get put into the peroxide to keep it stable. It's a very unstable chemical at the end of the day. So our products do not have any preservatives in it, which is why we have no sensitivity. You could take our gel, you saw me do it the other day, rub it directly on your teeth, no sensitivity at all. And I have highly sensitive teeth. And that's just why it works differently. Our ampules and our snap packs, when you break them, that's the purpose of the break. That's the first time air is getting in, and so it stays fresh that way. That's our secret formula, and that's why it works. But that's why you get no sensitivity with ours, and everybody else's generally has got that preservative factor.
I know you've mentioned you can find them at Ulta, you can find them at Sephora and at Nordstrom. Where online can they go?
They can easily go straight to gosmile.com, as simple as it sounds. We have a full online store. It'll also give you all the background. There's great videos. There's testimonials. Anything they want to know about teeth whitening related to our products, it's right there.
All right. And as I mentioned, I used one of the I used both of the snap packs. So because I had coffee and I was like, well, let's try this. My kids both mentioned how fresh my breath was. They're like, did you just brush your teeth? I'm like, no, but do my teeth look whiter? They are really fantastic products, including a travel toothbrush, the light toothbrush, the classic toothbrush. You can brush your teeth for the cure. You even have a pink toothbrush.
Yeah, we're really excited about that too, Hannah. Go Smile partnered with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We're a company that really believes in giving back. And quite frankly, a majority of our customers are female, and breast cancer affects so many women and so many friends and family that we decided that we would give back. So we are making a $50,000 commitment to Susan G. Komen, regardless of sales, and we're celebrating that with an exclusive pink edition of our Smart Brush.
I love it when companies do this. I love it when they pick out smart partners. And I love pink toothbrushes because how much fun. It's fantastic. Do we have a timer on the brush? It's a two-minute system. How does that exactly break down?
Sure. The brush actually, we call it a smart brush because it does a lot of things. First of all, we talked about the blue light. The blue light kills the germs and bacteria. That's number one, and it enhances and boosts the whitener. But within the brush, there's lots of cool things. It has a two-minute timer. Most people don't know that the American Dental Association recommends 2 minutes. Now, I challenge all of your listeners to do this. Go in the bathroom and put your watch just on the counter and see how long you brush. You'll be shocked that you're generally brushing for 20 or 30 seconds. That's nowhere near enough. Now, I'm not a dentist. I just run the company, but I promise you now, use our brush and watch what 2 minutes is. At the beginning, it feels like an eternity, but that's what you need to be preventing cavities and getting whiter teeth. 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes at night, and our brush takes care of that for you. Another part of the brush is it also has a quadrant timer, which is neat. Where do I put the brush? Every 30 seconds, the brush makes a little jog sound, and it tells you, hey, there, Mr. or Miss Brush, Brush E, move it to the right, move it to the left, move it up, move it down. And when you're done, you're done. Our charger is special. It makes the brush last anywhere from 2 weeks to a month without having to recharge. It just does a lot of great things. Oh, and there's also two speeds. In fact, we're so proud of the brush that we recommend new users use the lower speed because the higher one is so strong. I mean, I use the strong one. My whole staff with the pretty teeth, as you said, use the high one. You will too, Hannah. But start with the low one and then move to the high. And that's what it does.
All right. You people know where to get them. You know why you need them. Tell me how much they retail for.
The greatest thing about this brush, and if you go to any retail store, you'll see that my competitors sell anywhere from $69 to $200. Our brush with all these features, which, by the way, also includes a luxury toothpaste with vitamin A, C, and E. We don't even have to talk about that, but that's a bonus, is $89 for a classic brush. And we think that that's a great deal. And if you go online and check it, we generally have some great promos to get better pricing than that.
Everybody knows I'm a big fan of searching for the coupon codes online before you make any purchases. Dean Leibscher of Go Smile, and it is gosmile.com. And that is where you people can go and get it. If you're not going to go to Ulta or Sephora or Nordstrom, go gosmile.com for all of the great things we've been talking about. As I mentioned, go to my Instagram page, that Hannah Stanley, and I will make sure that you guys see all of those photos as well. Thanks so much for your time, Dean.
Thank you very much, Hannah.
That was, and I'm not kidding, I haven't been using the toothbrush, but I've been using the snap packs, and David, I had you use them.
I can imagine how it is when you use the brush and the whitening.
I know, I'm excited. I'm excited to try this product.
You said it doesn't cause sensitivity. That's the good thing, too.
It hasn't caused any sensitivity. I'm really excited to see how the toothbrush stands up. I'm telling you, I've been doing some research on this, and then I found this company, and I was really happy to bring this. And this is Frank's fave for this week.
Yes, and it's amazing because everybody in the house can use it.
Hannah Stanley here, International Home and Houseware Show. It is, gosh, I can't even tell you guys how glad I am to have just watched a demo on a product that I've never used before. And now I'm embarrassed because I just had a demo and then got to taste the product from Yonana's. You guys made me a sample of strawberries, mangoes, and bananas. They were all frozen. And then they go through this great sort of blendery machine, and it comes out, it tastes just like ice cream. Eileen McHale is with me, inventor of Yonana's. And you need to be a saint because this is I am nominating you for sainthood. This is ridiculous. I cannot believe that I've had this product and have not ever used it.
Thank you. Well, I think it's what is surprising for most people. I think when they finally learn about it, they're like, wait, I think this might be something else. When you see it in action and you get to taste it, just like you just did yourself, I think people are just blown away. They don't believe it even when they see it in front of their eyes. I will often be asked, so is there like milk or cream inside of the machine? Like, no, you watch us put frozen fruit through this and in seconds it comes out looking, tasting, and feeling like a soft serve ice cream.
It absolutely does. I will no longer buy ice cream. Absolutely. Because this is so easy. You can either buy pre-frozen fruit, or as I mentioned to you, I have frozen bananas in my freezer. I took them. They were about to turn and I put them into a Ziploc and threw them in the freezer. And now I'm ready. When the kids come home from school, boom, they've got sort of ice cream, but it's not. It's frozen bananas, and it is so tasty. Tell me the health benefits.
Well, I think what people don't realize, again, because you think you're cheating, you think you're doing something indulgent, but it's just the fruit. What's beautiful about this, so many of us, most of us, we don't have enough fiber in our diet. And if you've got fiber in your diet, you tend to find that things that have been ailing us start to get better. So what is amazing about this is literally 100% of the fruit that you push through. You're getting all of it, including the fiber, the vitamins, the minerals. So you can use bananas if you want to use bananas. You don't have to use bananas either. But again, it's just the benefits of just as if you were trying to give yourself or the kids a plate of fruit. And they might look at you and go, eh. But if you gave them this and they also helped you make it, everybody seems to be super duper happy, including the kids.
This is something, too, where, believe me, I don't have a huge, gigantic mansion of a kitchen. So I'm very, very protective of counter space. You're going to sit there at home and go, I can just throw this in the Vitamix. I can throw it in the blender. You can't. That creates heat, and that's going to break it down, and it's not going to have the same mouthfeel. This tastes, and this feels like frozen yogurt or like ice cream.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people have said that. They've said, you know what, I feel like I can do this sort of in my blender or food processor. There is a flat, one single blade that sits at the bottom of those types of equipment. What happens when you put in frozen fruit? It knocks around. You kind of have to, like, watch it. It'll shred up a little bit. So you usually have to add some kind of liquid to kind of get it moving around to do something with it. What is unique about Yonanas? It's not a blender. It's not a food processor. It is its own unique piece of equipment. It has its own unique blade cone. The way this gets in there, it grinds and emulsifies that fruit to create that wonderful texture. A little tip that we like to tell folks just to make your life easy. So it's really simple for you is we say, hey, if you've got some frozen fruit, let it thaw for 10 minutes more or less on your countertop. Because that way you're just, I know that your first time, mm-hmm. you're going to know, okay, I'm going to have something that's going to be really easy to do and I'm going to have a texture I pretty much will like. But when you're, you know what, I live in South Florida. I literally take it out, put it on the counter, turn around, grab a bowl, and I'm pushing my fruit right through. So it really depends on you. But it's just a nice little tip. So you just have that perfect experience. But I will tell you, 100% fruit, you don't have to add any other liquids. It's that simple and easy.
I watched it done. I tasted it. I am now a believer. And trust me, you guys, this is something you could easily tuck away in a cabinet. Once you're done, tell me, ask about the cleaning.
You know what? When we designed it, you've mentioned the small footprint, and it is really, really key. It's really, it's light. It's got a small footprint. You know, we're talking about like 6 inches by 7.5 inches. It's really small. But the cleanup piece, because I'm a person, I love my kitchen gadgets. I really do. I always have. But when we invented this, one of the things, the discussions we had was, we've got to figure out how to make this super duper easy to clean up. Easy. You take off the top, which is where that grinding happens. You can rinse it and put it on the drying rack, easy enough, but it's dishwasher safe. Put it in the top rack of your dishwasher. It doesn't get any easier. It's that simple.
These are my two favorite words, dishwasher safe. I live for dishwasher safe, and it is without question. I'm a working mom. We're busy people. It's probably the biggest question I ask when I'm on this floor. Is this dishwasher safe? And people, it is. It is. Where can they find it?
Okay, you can, well, right now you're going to be able to find it, obviously, on Amazon.com. You can find it on Yonanas.com, Yonanas.com. And you know what? With this show, you're going to be seeing us in a lot of other places as well. So we are super excited. And one other thing I want to share is, besides, you know, dishwasher safe being, you know, two favorite words, yes. Guilt-free is the other.
Yes.
Come on. I mean, I feel like that also was a really big piece, I think, in our design pieces. How do we create something for us that's guilt-free and good for you?
And so fast. You'll see the video I'm going to post on Instagram at that Hannah Stanley. It was 30 seconds and it was done. And it was a large bowl.
Right. And really, you get to manage your own portions, honestly. So that's also the beauty of this as well. So again, you know what? Guilt-free, simple, fast, fun, easy. That is what Yonanas is. And I'm so excited for everyone to get a chance to finally get to experience this for themselves.
I'm excited to get to experience this in my own home. And I can't wait for you guys to do it as well. Yonanas.com. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Literally had that in my home for 2 years. Never tried it. And the moment I got to try it at the houseware show, I went home. And we had frozen fruit for like smoothies and stuff, made it for the kids. They're addicted to it.
It was sold to you then.
It was sold. I am sold. I've used it probably 20 times in 3 weeks. Hannah Stanley.
Salesman's like, what's your budget?
I'm like, honestly, I don't know. Love him. Hannah Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. This is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio. Thank you, Frank, for letting me come in and sit in for you today. There was approximately half an hour, an exclamation from me, and I went, Chef is here! Chef is here. Chef is here. And so now Chef is on the air with me, Chef Matthew Capellini from El Tapeo. You have brought a gazillion dishes, and that is, I rounded up, but it's close. It is close to a gazillion dishes. Tell me about, not necessarily the menu brought today. We're going to talk about those items.
Sure.
But tell me what people are going to experience when they come to El Tapeo.
We try to look at it as a Spanish influence, but we're switching over to more of your locally sourced ingredients. Me being a very high-end background, a two Michelin level background, it's quite a tweak down to have more of a rustic style. But it's definitely looking at more of your local produce and things that we would use in Spain to how we can incorporate them and change them into what you would still see in Spain. But obviously we want to use our local purveyors and local farmers and support them.
This is an approachable, you said rustic. It is something that is not overwhelming for an average diner.
I know you
mentioned two Michelins, and for people who are unaware, that is the higher echelon of restaurants and price points and presentation. And there are things that not everybody is going to be excited about. They're lovely. They're gorgeous. This is something that we can put average diners, people
just
who,
right off the street, average diners.
Yes.
The idea of Spanish cuisine is all about family and friends and having a good time. Our average seat time is between 2 and 2.5 hours.
That's lovely.
People, you come in and you just order, a lot of tapas, smaller plates to try. Obviously, we have entree plates for people to share as well. They're made to share, not just for single diner. But if someone wants just a single diner, they're definitely are approachable for them too.
All right. So we're going to have pronunciation class in a few minutes because these all have very specific names that David was working with me on saying correctly. And I will ask for his expertise. I am seeing a paella. Tell me, paella is always so vibrant and gorgeous and something that you get excited to eat. Tell me what is in this particular dish.
So this is our paella de Diablo. This is actually a new paella we just put on the menu. It has seafood, chicken. So the seafood is just shrimp in there. But we have a spicy chorizo. We have chicken on top of it. We fill it with lobster stock to add some of that more of that seafood flavor into it.
Oh, sure. And some depth.
Yep. But we also add, it's called Brava sauce. So it's like a spicy tomato sauce.
Hence the Diablo. Yeah.
So it's,
we've got some fire there from
you know,
the devil.
Yeah. People look at it and go, oh, Diablo, it's going to be so spicy. And it actually really isn't that spicy.
Yeah. The chicken is not blackened.
No. It's just, it's a regular or marinated chicken. But the sauce we put in it is just gives enough spice where it's just a nice flavor to it. I personally don't like a lot of spice and a lot of heat, and I enjoy this dish very much.
Because, and I will ask you about that, I feel that sometimes the spice is there just to be the heat, and it really masks the flavors. And when you have a paella, especially when you have seafood and lobster stock in it and a chicken, there's complexity there that you don't want to hide with the heat.
Yeah, the Brava sauce we add into it is cumin, tomatoes, red pepper flakes. There's a little Tabasco sauce in it. So it's quite a few different flavors in there.
Yeah, there's some
just
depth.
To add some more complexity to the dish as it is.
I'm looking at, I believe, ocean scallops, sea scallops?
Just bay scallops. Okay. Diver scallops.
Okay. Tell me about that dish.
So this is our Vieira Borracho.
See how I'm cleverly making you pronounce everything?
The translation is drunken goat. Drunken scallop.
Drunken scallop.
So,
okay.
The idea with a lot of my dishes that I've really am adding some fun names to all of them. So the reason it's drunken is we take some nice fresh morels. They're all hand-picked. They're local. They're all within probably 50 miles of Chicago.
I was going to say, morels are something that we have such access to if you just want to look.
Yeah, I have friends that actually go out and hunt them themselves.
Go mushrooming.
I wish I could buy them from them, but unfortunately you have to be a business for me to do that.
Yeah.
But what we do with the morels is we cook them with a little bacon, and then we add a bunch of brandy into it. So that's why I call it a drunken scallop. So then under it, we serve it with a corn puree, which has a little ginger in it.
Mm.
And then just some spring onions, which are a nice, it's a nice onion that I really enjoy, but it's something that comes out, obviously, for the spring.
Where is El Tapeo?
We're located in the ninth floor of Le Meridian Hotel in Oak Brook, 2100 Spring Road. We have a great view of the city.
Right off the expressway?
Yep. Right off the expressway. You can see it right there. We're right on the east side of the mall. We're actually right next to the McDonald's headquarters.
Sure, until they move.
Until they move.
Yeah.
We're right around the corner here.
Yeah.
We actually have a great view of the city, believe it or not. We're the only hotel out there that has a high restaurant. It's actually a nice view once it gets dark out, and you can actually see the whole lot.
I want to ask you about the tart, mm-hmm. the tarta, because I turned around. You were plating as we were working on the last few segments, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden I turned around and I exclaimed, "Oh my goodness, there's dessert!" Tell me about that, and then I want to talk to you about Easter. This is a big thing for everyone.
So the tart is a tarta de. I'm going to say it wrong.
De Rebaro?
Rebaro.
Is that Rebaro, David?
Rebaro?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
We practiced earlier.
We did. I'm also not proficient in all the Spanish words, which doesn't help either. It's actually a rhubarb strawberry tart. I feel just straight rhubarb is.
Is that the Rebaro?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I feel straight rhubarb is just a little overpowering for a lot of people. So the. Addition,
a little tangy, yeah.
Yeah, so the addition of the strawberry helps to kind of level it out a little bit. It's, again, a local product that we get. The companies are actually, produce companies are having trouble keeping it in because it's so local and
really?
It's so well used right now.
Yeah.
So
my great-grandmother used to grow rhubarb in her backyard. Mm-hmm. So I grew up having strawberry rhubarb pie mm-hmm. and strawberry rhubarb in different things in a dessert mindset. So it is something that we can grow locally, and
yes.
obviously you're purchasing locally.
Absolutely. It actually comes with this champagne sorbet that we buy from, a local purveyor
mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of gelatos, and Angelo Gelato is the name of the company we use. And they do a great job with anything we need. And then we serve with just a nice mint puree just to add some flavor to it.
With the approach of Easter, mm-hmm. and of course, I think it's Passover, right?
Today.
But are you guys not normally open on Sundays, but you will be?
Yes, we're not normally open on Sundays. We close just for that day, but we are open the rest of the week for dinner only. We are opening up for Easter, and... It's actually a nice menu. There's a nice cold buffet you can pick from, mm-hmm. and then several entrees you pick from, so you're able to go up and get your nice cold items while we're cooking your hot entree for you, and then when you sit down, you're able to kind of enjoy both of them at the same time.
And is it going to be an Easter dinner or an Easter brunch type area?
Brunch, from 10
okay.
to 2.
All right.
We're taking reservations now for that.
All right. And do you have the number for the restaurant where people can get reservations?
We
will get that for you as soon as we go to the break while we research that. The website, please.
The website is www.eltopeorestaurant.com.
All right. And again, you are at the La Meridian. Le Meridian or La Meridian? Le Meridian.
Le Meridian.
Le Meridian in Oak Brook, Illinois. If you would hang with me through the break so we can talk a little bit more about these dishes.
Sure.
I might need to sample them. I'm David's laughing like as if you weren't totally eating lunch.
Yeah. Ole, 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 ole.
Thank you, David, for that. I will not be on Telemundo anytime soon, although I'm trying.
Hey, but you know what? You're not bad at all. No.
You are kind.
No, not at all.
Am I better than Frank? With pronunciation?
Actually, because he's Italian, so he has the Italian pronunciation.
So is that better?
Parli un poco italiano.
I just have no pronunciation.
But
I
you're getting
paella.
There. Uh-huh, paella.
I need the paella.
Paella.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we understand.
I don't say it like an East Coaster. That's good. Where's the paella? I need the paella. We are lucky enough to have El Tapeo represented by executive chef, Matthew Capellini. You guys are out in the suburbs, near suburbs, in Oak Brook
yep.
at Le Meridian. Ninth floor. Great view.
Beautiful view.
Nice, rustic, Spanish, tapas style.
Yes.
Dining.
Yep.
And what I'm thrilled about, you guys now have a paella half dish.
Yes, we have half orders for all the paellas now.
This is so big because paella doesn't reheat well. You got to be good at it, and nobody is, just you guys. And you guys don't reheat your paella.
No, we don't at all. No, we don't at all.
This is, I was able to taste the chicken. And as you mentioned, it's got chicken, it has shrimp, it has
spicy chorizo.
Chorizo, thank you. I almost said andouille.
And then, no, dish. I mean, we also had some fresh vegetables. And again, local items, but seasonal. So fava beans, peas.
What do you do during the winter?
We haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
for the paella, yeah. Really, I'm probably going to be even adding another one on. It's will be even a fifth one we have. We only have four right now, but it'll be more of a seasonal one we'll add on probably coming up.
Because we do have local produce here during the winter,
it's actually in the south side. It's the largest greenery, and it's on a rooftop in the world.
Really?
And they do.
Right here in the city of Chicago.
Right here in the city. Yeah, it's right along 90-94. Local Foods is the name of the company. We're actually currently not using them, but we will be using them soon just because during the winter it's so hard to get such great produce. And I've tried it. They have some of the great stuff that I've ever seen.
It is one of the gifts that the city offers to the residents and to the chefs here. Mm-hmm. The farmers markets and the Green City Market, and then now having these rooftop gardens. We have honey produced on the top of City Hall. It is remarkable what we have access to now if we just look. And it really has revolutionized the dining scene here in the city of Chicago because chefs like yourself really have the ability to bring in local produce and local flavors.
Yeah, and there's you talked about the rooftop, you know, items too. There's so many places in Chicago now that are hotels specifically that are growing their own produce on the roofs, and no one knows it. I mean, you're 28 floors up, and nobody can see it, but. Like the Marriott right down the road here, we're part of the Marriott family.
Yep.
They have a huge garden on the roof. No one knows it.
I believe the Renaissance, also part of the Marriott family, also has,
I believe they do too.
They used to have herbs, just herbs, but they were expanding it. Mm-hmm. And they're able to walk out, grab fresh mint, and put it in your iced tea. It adds people.
That's what people want nowadays. They want the local items. They want the freshness of the items. And the fact that we can grow it right in the middle of a concrete downtown city makes a huge difference for people.
And it's better for the carbon footprint because it's not putting off-gassing as much and not absorbing so much heat.
Yes.
So these are fantastic things. There's a couple other items that you brought in. Mm-hmm. Croquetas. See, David?
Croquetas, yes.
Croquetas. Okay,
croquetas.
See, two different types. One, pollo.
Yep.
And which is chicken. I know that much.
Chicken.
Pollo.
Pollo, yeah.
Pollo, like yo nana, but different.
Yeah,
pollo
yo.
And de setas.
Yes.
De setas? De setas.
Setas, uh-huh.
Okay.
I really feel like I'm in Spain today.
Yeah.
Now that we got that, now we got
American,
that out of the way.
Yeah. You're in Spain with an American. That's why it sounds like.
In a tourist Spain. Tourist attraction.
You're like in the airport. Okay. Tell me about these, please.
So the croquetas de pollas is actually, I consider it kind of one of our seasonal ones. We always have one that rotates. This is the one that we're rotating with right now. But again, it's taken off so well, we may actually keep it on the menu. We had a third one. Who's to say that's not going to happen? Mm-hmm. We take chicken thighs, local chicken thighs. We get from one of our vendors. We braise them in a nice dark liquid. And then we also use part of that braising liquid to add into the mix.
Mm.
And then the chicken's in there, pulled chicken that we had from it. And then we serve it with a tarragon mustard cream sauce, which you can't grow on chicken and tarragon.
My eyes just glazed over. I was like, thank you.
And mustard, too. I mean, I love mustard, so it was just a win-win. And then our vegetarian option is our croquette de setas. That serves with the cilantro yogurt. We take, again, any type of local mushrooms we can get, whether it's cremini, maitake.
Morels, yep.
Morels are a little expensive for that.
Yes.
But they're pretty high right now, but Hens of the Woods, which are some of my favorite. Anything like that is what we will add.
Nice earthy flavor.
Yes, a very earthy flavor with the mushrooms.
Here's the secret, and I hope my kids aren't listening. I make a dish that has mushrooms in it, and my children don't like the texture of mushrooms, so I blend them
There's nothing wrong with that.
Liquid, because I want the earthiness.
Yeah. There's great umami flavor in it. Great umami flavor.
They love it. They love when it has the flavor. They're like, this is our favorite dish. And
we've had the croquette set to us for probably a good 2 years now, and I can't get rid of them. People would come out with pitchforks probably at me, you know, if I got rid of them. So
because it you're absolutely right. The umami flavor is fantastic. There's an earthiness to mushrooms, but man, sometimes they get a little weird in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And so this would be another way to taste them. The one that I'm going to butcher, the dish that you brought, pulpo negro, which I believe is black octopus.
Yes.
I got the definition.
You got it good. Pulpo negro.
Pulpo negro.
A plus.
Oh, boy.
At least we got that right.
Yeah.
Right?
Tell me about black octopus. This is not something we see, and I'm guessing is not incredibly local.
No. We actually, quite a bit of our ingredients are, being Spanish, are actually imported.
Mm.
Yerbamba rice, it can only be grown in Spain in a certain area.
Champagne.
Yes.
It has to come from
a
certain region.
It's considered a DOP product, which basically says it has to be grown in a certain region or it won't be considered that. Yes. So we bring in, it's a Moroccan, octopus, but it's Moroccan and is right on the coast, along Spain. So they're really harvested in the same area. We braise that down and then we toss it in a black pepper condiment, it's called. So it's really it's kind of a Asian infusion, to be honest with you. There's a lot of soy sauce in it, but it's a lot of black peppercorn and, ginger, some other spices, a lot of things you would see along the trade route in Spain.
Okay.
So that's why some of those ingredients work well with it. Then we serve it with a little fennel salad with a lime vinaigrette, some caracar oranges, and tarragon puree. The thing that people don't really realize is the oranges incorporated in this dish, Valencia is in Spain. So instead of using a Valencia orange, I wanted to change it up and use a caracara just because it's a little bit more in season right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not necessarily the most local thing, but
you're keeping authentic.
It's still an orange. It's a variety of an orange that would come from Spain anyway.
And it's sweeter because it's in season.
Yes, it's definitely going to be sweeter. But it also gives a great different color to the dish too.
I will tell you, for being approachable dishes for diners and for guests of El Tapeo, these are lovely. I can absolutely understand why this would be a special occasion restaurant for some who wouldn't go normally. You guys are open for a brunch on Easter from 10 to 2. And you can go to the website, which is
www.eltapeorestaurant.com.
EltapeoRestaurant.com. I'm going to Instagram some of the pictures of these dishes as well.